No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today on the show, I've got East Oakland's very own Filthy Rich. How you doing, man?
What's good, man?
Crazy, man. So we had Mozzie in here the other day. Like, a frequent complaint from a lot of people out there was that we just weren't representing the Bay well enough. And you know, we had V-Nasty, but kind of we were slacking for a while. So now we got you and Mozzie in the same month, so I feel like we're doing a much better job with the representation.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so what brings you out here to L.A.? You always coming back and forth?
I be in L.A. a lot, like doing music or whatever, but I've been out here for the past couple of days just working. I got a hosting the night at Secret Sundays. I shot a couple of videos.
Hell yeah.
Did a few interviews with other people also.
That's what's up. Yeah, like one of the things that's craziest when I was researching and stuff is just how unbelievable your output is. Like you are just the... I often feel that way. Like, I don't know what rappers feel like. They're so busy doing a lot of the time. Yeah. But with you, you just, like, are clearly working at an unbelievable rate.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like the dope game. Like, basically, the music being the dope, you know what I'm saying? The more dope you got, I mean, the more money you got, basically, as long as you know how to sell it. You know what I'm saying? Can't go broke with dope.
You ever feel like... Well, I feel like with the average rapper, the reason why they would not put out as much stuff is because they're scared of, like, watering their content down or overwhelming the consumer. There's a lot of rappers out now who really like put out stuff so selectively. You know, they drop a video every few months.
Artists that's like on major labels or whatever, because you know they got structure and agendas and stuff like that. But you know, with us being from the Bay Area, you know, it's the independent game, so we dropping as much as we can. You get what I'm saying? To flood the market to get more checks and you know stay relevant and show your work ethic.
When you first started coming out, like what was the promotional stuff that you were doing? Because you've been in the game for over 10 years. Like, what were you doing back then to get your stuff out there? Were you selling stuff hand-to-hand?
Man, everything. At the shows, in the streets. Man, you name it. I was doing it. You get what I'm saying? I really never had no super, like, marketing plan or whatever. I just push as hard as I can. Went from MySpace to Twitter to Instagram to whatever. You get what I'm saying? But I also was always hands-on, like, even to this day. You know, I get CDs or whatever, and I'm doing in-stores. I'm giving them away, selling them, whatever I'm doing. You know, a lot of artists don't do that. Like, I touch the people.
Who inspired you to have that kind of mentality? Who sort of put you on the game? Okay.
It just come from the way I was when I was hustling. You know what I'm saying? I always wanted more, so it's the same way. I know this is how the income is going to come in, so I got to apply that to that. So if I slack and fall back, if I ain't hustling, then I ain't going to eat.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, it's weird. Like, I think that's kind of when a boy becomes a man, like that moment where you start to realize that every hour in your day is an opportunity and you need to be out there working your ass off. And that, you know, like, there's only so long you can go in your life where you're sitting around trying to get $40 to smoke some weed and just hanging out with the homies and shit. And there comes a point where you sort of have to become a man and start thinking about what you're doing with your time.
Of course, like, I mean, I'm not into all that. Like, I'm just more focused on getting my career and my life straight. Like, everything else is really relevant to me right now.
Yeah. So in this Noisy article I was reading about you, it's like pretty crazy how fast they tried to summarize your come up. They're talking about that, you know, they fast forward from you were living with your elementary school teachers in various shelters and jails. And then in the next sentence, it's like, oh, and then you got shot three times and now we're here. And I was just like, wow, that's a lot of fucking history right there that needs to be fleshed out.
Living with my teacher, that was like the third, fourth grade.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then what else you said they said in there?
And they fast forwarded all the way to like, oh, and he got shot three times and boom, that's when he decided
shot in 2012.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a big gap in between there.
Gigantic.
I started rapping like 2006.
Right.
So, and from there, numerous jail cases and, you know, because I never had a backing with the music. So it was always me out my own pocket. So I had to do what I had to do, you know, still catching cases in the streets, hustling to pay for studio time, CDs, posters, videos, whatever, because this shit costs. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's the only way I knew how to get it at that time.
Were you able to make a clean break between the street stuff and the music stuff, or was that like a messy thing?
I mean, it was hard because, you know, that's all I know. And that's what helped me get to where I needed to be, you know what I'm saying, as mentality-wise, as I used that mentality, like how I was doing that with this. That's how I look at it. But, you know, I mean, I'm clean now, so I just, you know, everybody do what they do, but, you know what I'm saying, I mean, that's where I came from.
Yeah. There's a lot of similarities, like people call you the Gucci Man of the Bay, and that's, you're probably kind of sick of talking about that comparison, right? Because you didn't invent it?
I heard it a few times. It ain't too, I mean, I really don't know what part of the comparison they compare to. I don't know if it's the jury, the jail shit when Gucci was.
I think it means that they're scared of you.
I mean, it could be all three above, but at the end of the day, I mean, like I said, Gucci is one of my favorite artists, so you know, I take it as a compliment.
Yeah, and you had him in the bodega rapping in that one video.
Oh,
the corner bodega, store. Oh, yeah, the corner store. We say bodega on the East Coast. Now I'm out here, yeah.
Yeah, he was on the block. Yeah, he had a show on his tour. I know Gucci from way back. He had a show on tour, and he came to the hood and did a song and a video the same day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have like an unbelievable number of features on your tape, like the newest tape, and like Gucci's just one of them. You got fucking Lil Uzi Vert and stuff on there. Are you just like the king of meeting these fools?
It's just about networking.
Yeah.
It's about network, being in people's face. Just how I hit you about doing interviews. Mm-hmm. It's just about networking. You get what I'm saying? And, no, they might not notice me for the music. They might notice me for the jury. They might notice me for being in the streets somewhere, but somewhere down the line, we're going to cross paths.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then we just, you know, what's up, man? Let's do something. Let's do something and go like that.
If you're a rapper and you're in Oakland, is it pretty common for them to try to check in with you, make sure that they're all set?
It's not necessarily that they check in, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go to other cities and states, you do the same thing. Mm-hmm. You fuck with who hot out there. What's
right.
going on? Especially being in the music industry, that's what you're supposed to do. It's called networking. Like, mm-hmm. it's how you keep your buzz going. Like, you liable to do a song with somebody that's hot from a different city or state, and people out there don't know who you are until you do one with them.
Right.
And you might create a buzz for yourself by mm-hmm. doing that, so.
Totally. Yeah, that fucking, the Gucci video was pretty crazy. It was just like unbelievable to see him in that environment. And it just kind of says a lot too.
He pulled up. As soon as he got off the plane, he came to the studio, did the verse. And then he like, you want to shoot it at the show? Or you want to shoot it where you was talking about at? I'm like, I want to go to the block.
Yeah.
All right, come on. He pulled up. He was just him and like one other person. Knocked it out. And then I still had went to the show with him later on, and it brought me out, opened up and stuff.
Hey, did he say anything in particular that stuck with you in terms of like the conversations you guys were having?
I had some people with me, and he was just like, you know, I was trying to get everybody in, whatever. They wasn't directly with me as from my neighborhood or whatever, but some other people, and I was trying to get them in and introduce them. And he was just like, man, you know, I don't need all these niggas around me.
Mm.
Like, basically, you see me, I'm by myself. Like, you know, I don't know if it's from the past, from motherfuckers like fucking up around him and causing problems, or he just leaving the drama alone and sticking to, you know, what he on. You know, he a new man now or whatever. So, you know, that kind of like opened my eyes up, like, maybe I should start kind of moving like that too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if something happened, it's all going to fall down on him. It ain't mm-hmm. going to fall down nobody else but him.
And he's such a kind of guy that, like, he just knows that the more people that are around him, the more opportunity it is to get in trouble. Because he's had that happen to him so many times.
Some niggas could be with a nigga and bitch get raped. They ain't going to say, they going to say filthy them.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
As soon as there's a celebrity involved, they always, yeah, and that's one thing. I read his autobiography, which is about to come out, which is amazing. It's one of
trying to get it.
Yo, it's fire. But he says in it, like, he just keeps talking about how when he was at the lowest points in his life, when he was really depressed, when things were really bad, he would go back to the street shit, like, throughout his career. And that was kind of crazy to think about, that was, like, his form of depression.
Yeah, because it's like you can always fall back on that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like that, too. Like, man, if I want to be done with this, I can just always go back to the block. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you done came so far and did so much to steer away from that. It's, you know, it's kind of be a letdown. And if you go back and fuck something off, it'd be a sad story.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you work so hard to get to where you at, and then you basically moving backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm, but you always got that comfort zone to know that I can always do this if I wanted to.
Yeah, and it's weird for like somebody like you or somebody who's done that before. It's that, like, you know, selling drugs, that's like the easiest thing you could be doing with your time.
Yeah.
You know, like in comparison to the rap thing,
it's
where you
like different for me now, because I feel like, you know, if I did want to sell drugs, every time I'm in the hood, it's like a photo shoot,
mm-hmm.
like something going on. People riding past, taking pictures, want to get out, ask for autographs, all type of shit. It's never like I could just, you get what I'm saying, just really just focus on selling drugs, because mm-hmm. I would be so like seen so much, like, you know what I'm saying? Famous just from the music or whatever. So
yeah.
Like different from back then, to where I can be incognito, doing what I got to do on the block, not notice as much as, you know, as I am now.
Yeah, because like rapping is weird, because you have to do all these things that don't make you money for the one thing that does make you money. Like, you got to do all this promotion, you got to do all this social media, all this bullshit, so that when you do a show, the show will be good. Or when you put a tape out, people will spend money on it.
You got to understand, it ain't just about social media. The promoters really got to get out in the field and be hands-on with these people too.
Because,
you know, social media, you can only bring so many people just off that. You're like, I mean, everybody don't watch that. Everybody forgets shit or whatever. So you really got to be at these high schools, these corner stores, these urban stores, and passing out flyers and shit, and getting the people to come to the
show. Hit up the high school to promote?
I've done all that before.
That's dope. Do like school assemblies and shit like that?
No, just like the kids just get out of school. I'd be outside passing out CDs.
Yeah, that's tight. That's some old school. Yeah. Okay, so moving on. Let's go back to the early days. Like, what were you like as a kid? And like, where was your home, your upbringing like? Yeah. Your parents? I want to know about all that stuff.
No, moms had five kids, five different baby daddies. You get what I'm saying? I was the oldest son. I was rebelling. Called my first case. I was 11.
You know 11. What'd you do?
Robbery in San Leandro, taking bikes and shit.
Can you lock that door? Huh? Nobody. Lock the door? Thanks.
Taking bikes and shit, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, just trying to find me, you know what I'm saying? I ain't had no father figure in my life or whatever. Just, you know, just normal shit as a kid, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I lived in shelters, group homes, not group homes, but Job Corps. All type of different shit, you know what I'm saying? Kicked out of school, kicked out the house, you name it.
Damn. So was there a point where, was there ever like hope along the way, or were you just sort of get right into the street shit from a young age and just keep you going full-fledged with that, or were there things that you were working on trying to fix your life, or what was that path like?
I mean, I had no guidance to fix my life. I didn't really see that my life was fucked up. I thought it was normal because most of all the kids I was around was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just normal shit that I seen to me. I didn't know nothing about really having a better life. Mm-hmm. I thought this is what it was.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Lights off. Mom had bills in my name, all type of shit. I thought this was how it was because everybody I was around was the same way.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, shit, this is what it is. I never thought outside of that being different. Like, this was the norm.
When did you start to get exposed to the idea of like you being able to do something more productive with your life?
After I had my second son.
Okay. So around what age?
2006.
Okay.
2006. My friend, I got murdered. You know what I'm saying? And the police had grabbed me up for the homicide or whatever. And, you know, it was just like, you know what I'm saying? If while I was in there, something just had stuck with me. What he said, it was like, you know, if you don't change your shit up, you're going to go down the same path you is because your father not in your life and you're not going to be in your kid's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. And I was like, you know, that. That's true. You get what I'm saying? Even though niggas don't fuck with the police, whatever. So I just like thought about doing something different with my life.
Yeah. It's crazy because I feel like a lot of people have stories where they get locked up and they're in the holding cell or whatever. And like a cop says something to them and it actually makes an impact on them. Because in that moment is like, it's like the worst moment in your life. Yeah. Like you just fucked up enough that you're like now locked up.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you just at that moment, like your brain is just going crazy because you're like, man, like what am I going to do? It's such a crisis, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy because normally it's like, what the fuck is a cop going to say to you that you're going to pay attention to?
They planted dope on me after I left.
So how'd that work?
Shit, I was already on probation, drug diversion. Shit. So with that, they make you like go to school, get a job. And I found out at work. I fell asleep on the job and people called in like suspicious black man in the front. When I woke up, I was in the chair. They had tasers to my face. You know what I'm saying? So when I woke up, they didn't believe that I worked at the business, the establishment. So I had showed them the little office room or whatever. They ran my name, came back for a warrant like a year later for the dope. They was telling me in there, like, if you don't tell us who did this, we're going to put this on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, of course, nigga ain't say nothing. So like a year later, and then when I went to court, they was in there, the same police. So I'm like, man, just give me I ain't finna try to go against them because it's going to be my word against theirs. And you know how that works. So I think they just upped the probation from like 3 years to like 5 years or something.
Jeez.
I did like time served or whatever I had did it, some shit like that.
You still on probation right now?
Nah.
Okay.
I've been out since 2010.
Is probation a trap when you get out of jail and they got you on that shit?
It's a trap if you keep catching cases and violations and you don't pay your restitution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But is it a trap in the sense that they set you up to fail because it's like any little tiny thing that you do.
It's
a
violation.
Yeah.
And then if you catch something close to it, it's like a prior or whatever the fuck it is. I don't know. But basically it is like you, like how it used to be, I think it was like 28 days and 3 years probation. You get what I'm saying? And you a nigga in the streets, of course you're going to violate. You get caught with some weed, you're going to violate. And then it's a whole thing to where if you're on probation, like, they get the right to search you and all type of shit. So you might get caught out of pocket at any given time. Mm-hmm. Just that probation on your name alone, just fuck it off.
Associating with felons, yeah, that shit.
Being around somebody that's on parole, all that shit is like, damn, I got to change your whole life. You can't be around your nigga. Just got out of jail for doing 10 years. You know what I'm saying? And you get caught around him, you're going to go to jail.
Mm-hmm. They set it up so it's impossible, yeah.
You might have a blunt on you. They might try to take you to jail. You know, the weed shit just passed, but back then they was tripping.
Yeah. Up in the Bay, though, when I first, like, went to fucking Oakland, San Francisco and shit, it was the first time that I, like, saw people smoking out in public all fucking day, sitting in Dolores Park, people drinking 40s and fucking smoking all day. I'd never seen that from the East Coast. It was, like, a whole new world to me when I first came out here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's different shit everywhere.
Yeah, they're just, like, a little more advanced. Like, people, you could do that in a lot of places now, but at the time, it just seemed crazy to me, like, 10, 15 years ago. Yeah. So how do you...
Just in New York?
I just went out to New York for a little bit, but I lived there for like 7 years before I moved here. Yeah. How'd you find out about this podcast? Anyway, was it the Mozzie one?
Davo, yeah.
Okay.
Davo told me about it.
Okay, nice. That's tight. Yeah, that fucking Mozzie podcast, shit heated up. I fucking got people trying to blame me for all this crazy street shit that happened after that came out.
What, the SIBO shit?
Yeah.
You ain't had nothing to do with it. You asked the question, man.
I didn't even realize that he was saying anything that inflammatory. And then I'm like, that was fucked up, though, is all the YouTube titles have, like, you know, five shot after Mozzie's statements in a No Jumper interview.
That's what it is.
I'm like, oh, my God.
I don't even like being on live and shit because this shit's so different. Like, I never knew, like, motherfuckers run to the phone so much. Like, this shit never was like this before, like, the world, like... You get into a fight, nigga, pulling out the phone. You got to shoot the phone out of nigga hand before you shoot him. Like, you know what I'm saying? That shit crazy. They telling on each other. Like, that shit crazy. Like, niggas don't understand. Like, they telling on themselves so much. Like, you get into an argument outside trying to pull a phone out and record. Like, that's all dry snitching. Like, you get on live, they recording you, putting it on YouTube, and they switch the titles and make it beats or some fake ass shit like.
Oh, the fake news on YouTube is crazy.
I don't get into all that. That ain't my thing. Yeah. Like,
it'll be like a 10-minute video, like Filthy Rich said this, yeah, and then you watch a 10-minute video, and it's like you on live, you're talking about all kinds of different shit, but you didn't really say what they're saying that you said. Yeah. That shit is insane, man.
It ain't nothing to do with what's on the title.
Yeah, crazy. Just
trying to get the people look at it.
How old are you now?
34.
So you've seen it from the pre-internet days where people behaved in a certain way, and now you get to perceive the world as an adult living in a little kid's world.
Anybody on the internet these days, these fake ass niggas posting cars ain't theirs. Mm-hmm. These bitches, you know, they got the little app to where you can scope your body and make you look bigger than what you is. Or
you
whatever.
Zoom in, and the door frame is all bent along with their waist and shit.
I can ask you for $10,000 out your pocket right now and posting on my Instagram, make it seem like it's mine. You get what I'm saying? And niggas wearing fake jewelry. It's all type of weird shit going on these days, man. I just try to stay far. I don't want to breathe nothing they breathing.
Yeah. I bought like 2 lines of fucking Quali over there in the kitchen, and then an empty bottle was just sitting there. And in the course of like 2 days, I seen like 800 people take a photo with the empty bottle, flexing with it.
Listen, bro.
Everybody coming through.
Listen, bro. It ain't been niggas come to my house. I done had a pint of syrup. I'm like, bro, what you doing? Post they shit up. I done had some red bottoms fresh on the table, on the pool table, in a bag. I ain't even pulled them out since I left the stove. Nigga take them out the bag, take a picture of them, put them on his Instagram like they his.
So funny, right?
This shit crazy. It's all an image, man. Yeah. Like, it's your life, man. You feel me? You live it how you want to live it, but come on, man.
Yeah. Like, it's like that one Future skit where he's like, he's buying some drugs or whatever, and the drug dealer's asking him for the Instagram shout-out and shit, and I'm like, man, I bet that happens all the time.
Yeah, man. My whole thing is I hate niggas that want to be asking for selfies and shit.
Yeah? You think there's something kind of sus about a selfie?
Of course. Yeah. Like, bro, you're getting too close to me. And then you got to think about, like, you got to make that face. And, like, that's female shit. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, you get too close to a nigga to make a face and turn your head and all that. Like, bro, hold on, man. Have somebody else take this picture for us.
Yeah.
Like, we can't do it like that.
Yeah, that is funny when I think about it. Like, is that
you want a nigga to take a picture with you all close and shit and selfie and try to turn your head and all that. Like, come on, bro.
I used to think selfies were super girly and gay too, but I kind of like forgot about that because it's become so common now.
So if you listening, you're a male fan, you want to take a picture of me, please don't ask me for no selfie.
Yeah. Let's lay down some other ground rules as well. Don't try to talk to me or shake my hand while I'm eating. I just want to throw that out there, especially if I'm with a girl.
Yeah, for sure.
That's terrible. What are the other ones? The bathroom. Don't do it in the bathroom. Man. Never talk to another guy in the bathroom.
Walk with me. I don't even let him walk with me in towards the bathroom. No nothing, my nigga.
Yeah, that's super scary, too. Especially from the perspective of somebody like you that has actual, probably, issues with people. There's people that, you know, you're looking out for. You're thinking about your involvement. And then you got fans who are running up on you, and they're grown-ass men. They're not that. They're not like little kids. They're running up on you on the street asking for a picture or whatever.
Yeah, I've been in jail before. I'm in jail, San Jose. I'm on the phone. I just got out the shower. You know, I got the towel on or whatever. I'm in between the bunks. He run up on me like, "Hey, you filthy rich?" I turn around, square up. He like, nah, bro, no, ain't nothing like that. Like, I was just on the phone with my wife. She told me he was in here. She wanted an autograph.
From jail.
Like, what the fuck? Is that right, man? It's all good, bro. You know, I mean, it'd be different scenarios. You get what I'm saying? I mean, it just sometimes the fans don't know how to approach you and, you know, ask you for what they want.
Yeah. And you feel bad, too, because, like, you're standing there taking a picture with them, and then they're, like, shaking and shit. And then you realize, like, how big a deal that is to them.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of hard for you to imagine. Like, you know, you meet Gucci. You take a picture with Gucci. It's like, yeah, you looked up to Gucci for 10 years, but you still know how to act like it's normal. A lot of these kids, they never met anybody who was like that to them, you know?
Yeah, and you know, those kids in my neighborhood that act like that too. So, you know what I'm saying? So, I just take it for what it is.
You got to go through get your jitters off. Like, when you're a little kid, when I think about like how I would have felt if I met Snoop Dogg when I was 18, 16, something like that, I would have been tripping.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so do you really get busted for selling cocaine on your first actual rap tour? That's what it says on your Wikipedia, that you got busted for selling coke on your tour with Mr. Fab and all these other guys.
No, I didn't get busted on the tour.
I swear it says that on the Wikipedia.
Yeah, you know, that shit fake. I didn't get busted on the tour. I got busted while the tour was going on. Like while I had set up the tour. It was like some town business BG's tour or some shit. Yeah, like in the middle of the tour, I wasn't able to finish the shows because I had went to jail.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's what it was. Not on tour, though. Like, oh, okay. In the bus or some shit like that.
Well, sometimes I hear that about rappers. It's like, damn, they still sell coke on tour. They still do this and that. I'm like, Jesus Christ, these guys are really dedicated to that lifestyle.
I mean, it's not necessarily dedicated. I mean, it is a lifestyle. It is what it is. Like, it's a rush. You know what I'm saying? To make an easy buck fast, you know, just getting money, period, is a rush. You know?
Yeah, man. I aspire to be on that kind of level. You know, you got a million in the bank, still down to sell an 8-ball. That's just like, that shows real dedication.
Selling no 8-balls like that, man.
See, I'm still thinking small, man.
Dropping off a bird or something on the road.
I never sold nothing bigger than an 8-ball. No way. That's too rich for my blood.
Yeah. Keeping it real. You know? Some niggas, they say, only sold an 8-ball. Talking about they didn't sell 8 birds.
Yeah. I love that. That's the best. So you put out 50 albums in the last 10 years. That's a fact?
Probably more than that.
More than 50? Damn. So, but you went crazy in 2016. Are you slowing it down a little bit for 2017? Or like, what's your attitude now?
Right now, 2017, I got this shit organized a little bit better than how I used to be. You get what I'm saying? Just so I can build my brand and do it the right way. You get what I'm saying? Not saying that what I did was the wrong way because it got me where I was at, but I really just got my buzz and popping off my work ethic. Then all of them, oh, he really could rap, oh, he really from over there, oh, he having money, oh, he really street came later. You get what I'm saying? Because you might not seen this video, but you might see the next one. You know what I'm saying? And so many people just start, you know, you're not finna hire nobody that don't work. You're not finna pull up to Walmart and need some Mexicans to come paint the walls and grab the fly nigga over there that's being too cool and cocky. You gonna grab the nigga that jumped in the car and let's get up out of here.
Right. Everybody wants to be that little.
Yeah, so that's how I looked at it. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I just worked my ass off. Like, I got an album come out in November 17. Already got like 2 albums in the cuts already that I could already done also. So at certain times, I'll be working on multiple projects. So this is what it is.
You ever consider going down the label route?
Yeah, if the situation right. It got to be right, though.
Yeah, a lot of people approach you probably over the years and stuff.
Not that many, but a few. But if it's right, then of course.
They don't really want the street dudes these days. They're too shook of that shit.
You know, from all the niggas going to jail and shit like that, they don't be wanting to invest their money into all that. But at the end of the day, it's like, I mean, I ain't really too much worried about the bread. I just want the major back end, the major look.
Promotion.
All that shit. You get what I'm saying? I'm a star myself, so I'm gonna get mine regardless.
Yeah. The Bay is like such a unique place in that it's like you could be a star there and not necessarily like
be known nowhere else.
Yeah, and is that always been the challenge, you feel like, is for you to be able to?
I mean, that was my whole thing, to where I'm like, okay, I'm big as fuck here. I got to get outside of here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my thing with me jumping on flights, going to Atlanta, going to Houston, going to Detroit, coming to L.A., you know what I'm saying, moving around. And I'm in New Jersey. I'm with Jim Jones. They in the mall. Hey, what's up, Filthy?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, shit. They know me out here. You know what I'm saying? I'm in New York. I'm in Harlem. I'm in Brooklyn. And that shit is a good feeling,
mm-hmm.
coming from where I came from and not knowing I was going to be in this place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's dope. Yeah. It's like different levels to like celebrity. Like, you know, you could be like you definitely are like a cult hero at the very least for the Bay and stuff. But like, this is sort of a similar conversation what we're having with Mozzie, is where it's like kind of the dream of a guy who's in your position to like go past that and be really able to represent your culture to people outside of your culture. Like, for some kid in New York to think about Oakland and just think about you right away, that's kind of the biggest like accomplishment in a way.
Of course, like, you know, everybody had their time, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, but you just got to work for it. And I put in that work, you know what I'm saying, and I'm gonna represent this Oakland shit to the fullest. You know, I'll make the city look good. I love for other motherfuckers that's coming up making the city look good also. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And we're going to do it the right way. It just is what it is. Like, you know, and then a lot of motherfuckers always worrying about, like, you know, in time you elevate and you grow. You know, I done did all the rapping about the drugs and the mm-hmm. murders and the streets and all that shit like that. But being from the Bay Area, you know, they like, the fans and shit and the people that's not growing with you, they just one track minded. So I might be saying some shit about being on a G5 or a Ferrari. These people never seen that. So they like, okay, he changing up. He not the same person, but everybody changed. You know what I'm saying? You have to grow. And I'm still keeping it real. If I'm around and seeing that, and now that's what I'm putting into my music, but they not understanding that because it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I might talk about a pair of red bottoms. They don't have a red bottom store in Oakland.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they want me to been in the game, however long I've been in the game, and still wearing 4X white tees.
Mm-hmm.
They want me to star forever. That's what they accustomed to, so that's what they accustomed to hearing. Oh, the 4X white tees, the sitting on the block with a black and mild, and that's not me. Like, yeah. I didn't get in this game to stay in one place forever. Mm-hmm. I didn't get in this game to be a local rapper. You get what I'm saying? So, I mean, if just like I grow, everybody got to grow, but that's what I'm saying. But being from there, that's what they more focus on, you know, because it's a lot of poverty. It ain't too many motherfuckers doing good.
Yeah, like doing well for yourself is not really that relatable in general. That's why sometimes, like, when I think about rappers who like all their songs about jewelry and designer shit and stuff, I'm like, man, do the fan.
Back then, I wasn't rapping about all that because I wasn't having that at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until I started doing my thing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I did all the shoot 'em up, bang bang, street selling dope records. You know what I'm saying? When am I ever supposed to celebrate?
Yeah.
You know,
you feel like that's kind of an issue though, that the fans don't want to see you for that? And like, we've all seen artists who like got to a point in their life where they were happy in a relationship.
It's like you trying to reach to a broader a broader audience. So it really don't matter to me what they think, because I'm trying to get myself known over here in Atlanta when they talking about the jury.
Mm-hmm.
Over here in New York when they talking about the cars. Over here, and I still could talk the dope in the street shit too also. But I can't just stay in one place and just cater to y'all about this same shit when I'm trying to be bigger, because y'all will keep me in a box and make me smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This will keep me smaller if I'm just trying to cater to this. Oh, I can't talk about this because my fans in Oakland or the Bay Area don't know about that.
Yeah.
That's stupid if I'm trying to be a bigger, a worldwide rapper.
Do you feel like you face the same challenge with talking about like political issues and stuff like that, injustice, that where the fans don't necessarily want to hear it, but do you still feel like you need to touch on those kind of topics?
I mean, I'm not too political. I don't really get into it because I don't want the police kicking at my door or whatever, because you know how that shit go. You get what I'm saying? But, you know, I kick shit here and there. But at the end of the day, it's like for every action is a reaction. So, I mean, you might be talking about that and they might not understand that either.
Mm-hmm.
And then be like, oh, he changed. Oh, he think he Kendrick Lamar now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like always a lose-lose situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a weird line. Okay, so who else do you feel like is really putting on for Oakland and everything right now, or the Bay in general? Like, when you look at other people out there doing it, you got G-Eazy on your album. Notice that.
Nah, he wasn't on the album. He was on the remix to Make a Living.
Oh, right.
And him and Sue. I miss a lot of people out in the Bay, you know, that's doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? SOB doing their thing. After Pharaoh doing their thing. It's a lot of motherfuckers out there, like, no pushing. You get what I'm saying? My boy Styling, you know, Livewire still doing their thing. Lil Blood. People just got to get tuned in. If you know what the Bay is, you get what I'm saying? Then you know there's going to be a lot of hustler music, a lot of pain, a lot of struggle, a lot of shining also, a lot of trapping. You get what I'm saying? So it's motherfuckers everywhere in the Bay doing their thing. People just got to put the light on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I seen you fucking with SOB RBE heavy. Like, do you feel like it's kind of your responsibility, like, when new acts are coming out and getting hot from your area, that you want to go meet with them, link with them?
Hell no.
Work together?
Don't owe me nothing. Mm-hmm. They work for their spot.
Right. But in the early days, before they even started coming out, like, do you look at, like, them and be like, I want to help them out?
Listen, the youngsters don't respect OGs these days. Not saying I'm OG and this shit, but I'm just saying, period. Them niggas don't owe me nothing. Them niggas doing their thing. Niggas hot. They work for it. I can't take nothing from them. You get what I'm saying? All I did, we did a couple collaborations, a couple videos. You know, we just salute each other. That's just that.
That's what's up.
Doing their thing. I'm doing my thing, you know, but niggas don't owe nobody nothing. You work for your, you know, for your spot. Period.
Do you think that's a big problem, though, these days, where the young kids don't necessarily have respect for what
went? I'm not talking about really in the music. I'm just talking about in the streets.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? Like, youngsters don't give a fuck about OGs these days. You know what I'm saying? Niggas peel your cap back. You make the wrong decision. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because they got something to prove. You know what I'm saying? You've misguided right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it just is what it is.
Well, do you think it's the internet fucking them up?
Yeah, everybody want to, like these days, if you kill somebody, you got to tell on yourself to take credit for it to be popular.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
I never was into that. I never, you know, I thought niggas try to do what they do and then get low and stay low until, like, you feel me, to it die down or whatever. These days, niggas jump right there, kill a nigga and film it, put it up type shit. Like,
damn near, right?
Shit weird, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. Do you feel like the cops still, like, have a target on your head where they want to fuck with you because you come from a background like you do?
I mean, most likely, you know. I mean, but it's Oakland, you get what I'm saying? So it is what it is. You know, they don't let me do no shows out there or whatever, but I just take it on the chin. Like you said, man, the best get it the worst. You know, I might have to sacrifice, you get what I'm saying, for the next person coming up to be able to do shows in Oakland. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? It might change in due time on the strength of me. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I just adapt to the atmosphere, man.
You really can't do shows at all? Like, nowhere near there?
Can't do no shows in Oakland.
How far away you got to go?
San Jose.
Yeah.
San Francisco.
Is it just that they think that there's probably going to be violence?
There's gangs and shit in Oakland, right, or whatever. So it's like, you know, they try to tie people into gang activity and shit like that or whatever. You get what I'm saying? Or they just hating. You know, so I don't really know. They said the chief of police came from L.A. So, you know, his mentality might be, Everybody is gang members or whatever, but it's probably deeper than that. You get what I'm saying? You know,
yeah.
I ain't trying to start no problems, man. I'm just trying to, you know, show my city some love, even if it's a free show, man. I'll do a free show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Free show. Everybody free if they let me do it.
Because there's a lot of, like, people in the hood and shit who realistically are not going to travel half hour or an hour to go to a show.
By the people we be rapping to, mail-wise, these niggas on the run. These niggas got pistol cases. These niggas don't got license. These niggas don't got cars registration. They not finna drive out to these suburbs to come to the shows. They not finna drive out to the suburbs to go buy CDs.
Mm-hmm.
The females is buying the CDs. You get what I'm saying? So these niggas funking. They might pull up on their enemy riding through Oakland. You get what I'm saying? So, it just is what it is, man.
From my perspective, it seems fucked up by the cops, though, because shouldn't, like, if there's an issue with violence at shows, well, doesn't that just mean, like, okay, let's get more security, let's make sure the shit is really safe? It's not like, oh, let's not ever let this guy perform there, right?
I don't know. They just think that I'm going to bring out the negativity.
Mm.
And I'm not just going to say it's just me. It's other artists also.
It's like that for a lot of street rappers?
Me, though, it's other artists also. But by me being one of the biggest faces from Oakland, I feel like I should be able to perform in my city.
Yeah. So what would they do? They would just contact the venue and not let it happen?
Yeah, I done had it happen the day before. Mm. Birthday party. You know, I invested money into venues, you get what I'm saying, hotels, Sprinter vans, all type of shit, flights for artists to come out, you get what I'm saying, and they shut me down like the day before.
And
they did
crazy.
A couple times. They just tried to book me at a little strip club out there. The police called talking about they need $10,000 for 6 cops and 20 bodyguards.
So crazy.
Like some extortion shit trying to go on.
Yeah, like there's going to be a fucking war or something. And then when you actually go to rap shows, it's like it's young ass kids most of the time.
It was just mostly it was a hosting. I was just gonna be in the building.
Strip club? What the fuck?
Yeah, I was just gonna be in the building, you know, showing love. It wasn't even nothing like that. Then I end up going back the next week anyway and having fun and nothing happened.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I mean it's like
people ain't fighting in the strip club that much anyway. People are happy in the strip club.
I mean, it's just a simple fact. Like they just want a nigga not to be able to do it, but I go to the community and give away 500 turkeys or 500 backpacks and 10,000 for a scholarship for charity. I mean, they don't be tripping off that. So, so what's the how I can't get money in the city and do shows? I'm gonna give it back to the community anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Yeah, the issue of checking in is something I'm really intrigued by. You think I should check in with you if I go up there?
Not necessarily checking in. Just hit me up. I'm in town. What's up, G? Where I get something to eat at?
Yeah.
What strip club you want?
I need the video cameo. That's all I'm concerned with.
Yeah, you could pull up to the block, man. It's good.
The white guy video cameo is very rare, though. It's like you really know a white guy's doing something right if he gets to be in the video for a second.
Yeah, man. You got a lot of tattoos. You'll blend
see,
right in.
See, exactly. That's the only thing I got going for me.
You out there hitting the blunt. They're going to be like, that's the plug right there.
Hitting the blunt.
That's his plug right there. They're going to make up all type of story.
Yeah. So... Also, yeah, the statistic of 30K a month off iTunes, that kind of blew my mind when I heard that. Is that a consistent thing or is that
it's
just
more than that?
Really? Holy shit.
At times it depends. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you got a good project out and you gotta think about it, man. Like you do a million views on Vivo, that's 4,000-5,000 right there.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube, Vivo, whatever. You got Spotify, you got Sound Exchange, you got iTunes, you got all different type of ways of getting that check.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? CD sales. I mean, If they buying that shit, if that shit cracked, they gonna buy it. So I mean, it wasn't exaggerated.
Yeah, but that's kind of like
that was a while ago when I said that.
Mm.
Shit could be different now.
But people don't realize that's like when you have been putting out content for as long as you have, it's like you might have old albums that are only getting played so many times in a month. But it's like if you have a lot of those old albums that are making a smaller amount of money, they all join.
No old albums. I'm talking about recent shit.
Yeah.
So I ain't talking about no old albums. I'm talking about recent shit. And you know, not to have people in my business, but shit could be bigger right now. From when I said that comment. But at the end of the day, I mean, it wasn't a lie.
Yeah. That's fucking wild, man. A lot of money to be made out there.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about it. What you think these major artists is making and shit off singles and shit going 10 times platinum and, you know what I'm saying? And Chris Brown doing 100 million views on WorldStar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not WorldStar.
On
YouTube
and
shit like
that.
That shit monetized and all that. That's a check.
Yeah. Well, you see that statistic that just came out in the news where they were like, off EXO Tour Life, Lil Uzi made 900,000 and the label made 3.5 million?
Yeah, because they probably invested some money up front.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever they put into you, they got to get that back first before you get anything. So apparently, they made something off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Probably made the money they gave him up front, the events. Probably made the marketing and all that shit back. And he still got 900,000. That's almost an M.
Yeah.
He did good.
I'm kind of suspect about that statistic.
I never even heard the album.
Yeah. So it's just that one song, EXO Tour Life.
Oh, just that
All My
oh,
Friends
just
Are
one
Dead.
Song?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Oh, so
I mean, that was a huge like top 10 hit or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they got to do radio. They got to do promotion. They got to get their bread. They probably put that into the album and got that back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to the song. So it just is what it is. Like, I'm sure. I ain't seen him complain nowhere about it. So if they put that money invested into the song,
mm-hmm.
he got paid off of it. He must be doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, your business arrangement is what it is.
Now,
until
if they made 3.4 million, he got nothing,
then
it'd probably be something to talk about.
He says something like the Bad and Bougie verse that he did. He got paid like 20,000, like the set amount for the verse or whatever it was, and then nothing after that. Like he just got he didn't have points on it or whatever.
Off like that or something, or did something like that, or maybe the label probably, you know, because you need to do verses from big artists and shit. You gotta get shit cleared and shit like that. So maybe they just like, okay, you want to do this verse for 20 bands, and he did it. And I mean, it's all type of shit. People buy albums from people and all type of shit. I didn't sell albums for 30,000 before.
Just straight up sold to
like
someone.
Artists buy album from me. We do this 30,000. That's his album. He did everything off of it. And then I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, yeah. I hear about those kind of deals too. How's the? Are you still? You still do a lot of features?
I did over 100 features this year.
This year. Damn, that's crazy.
I got a folder on my computer at home.
Yeah.
It's features. Not all paid features. It's features on just people that's doing music. I got relationships across the world. And, you know, at the time being, when you're working on your album, I feel like if you stand hot on everybody else's tape, you never lose your buzz. You stay relevant. So when your tape come out, you get what I'm saying, you still got that same buzz.
Yeah.
But when you falling off, you ain't doing features, you ain't working, you ain't doing no videos, they ain't hearing from you, you just come out of nowhere, you know, you can lose it. The hardest thing to do is light water. You know what I'm saying? Once you go cold, it's hard to get back hot.
Yeah. That's true. Do you have somebody who like would handle features and that kind of thing for you, or is that the sort of thing where you're having those conversations on your own? Or is
most of the people that I do features for, I kind of know.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, like people that's paying me for features or whatever. But I mean, I do it myself. Yeah. I got a studio in my house. I just knock it out.
Oh, that's dope. You got it in the house. Is that?
I record myself.
Yeah, you like doing that a lot more than having to run around the city going to different studios.
It came
and shit
up like that. It ended up happening. Like I learned how to record and shit because, you know. I'm getting like 7,500 verse right now. So at the time being, it wasn't that high, maybe like 2,000 or something like that, 1,500 something. But I'm like, I don't got time to be calling these studio people to get in the studio. You know what I'm saying? This man trying to send this bread. You get what I'm saying, man? Look, send it to me right now. I'll send it back to you in 30 minutes. Mm. All it is uploading a track, making a new Pro Tools session, recording yourself, and sending a WeTransfer. Shit simple.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? So that's how I really... I gotta get my studio. I had already knew how to record from earlier rapping. But I had to get my own studio and keep my shit so I could be knocking all these verses and shit. I could be missing out on opportunities and missing out on money.
That's how you know a rapper's like a real hustler, is when you see them actually knowing how to use Pro Tools and actually knowing how to do all that shit.
All that shit. I'm doing my own thing. I just don't mix. You know what I'm saying? When I record all my album, everything, I just send it to somewhere else to get mixed.
Yeah. You ever made beats for yourself as well?
Nah, I ain't made beats.
I'm gonna touch that. That's the devil's magic. Yeah. So how much weed do you smoke on an average week at this point in your life?
Hey man, shout out my dude Cali Plug, man. He just plugged me, man. He probably gave me about 7 zips in the past couple of days, me being out here. But shit, man, we could smoke damn near a zip a day if we got it on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fucking, is that more or less than you smoked like earlier in your life? Like have you gotten crazier
earlier,
with it or less?
Earlier I sold weed.
Oh yeah.
I used to buy eighth, and eighth was going for like 50.
Mm-hmm.
We used to bag up 8 bags, just smoke the 3 and sell the 5 and buy the 8th again.
Right.
And I'm like, man, this ain't working.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes every bag didn't go for 10.
Yeah.
It might have been for 8 or 2 for 15 and 3 for 25 or 3 for dub. So I'm like, damn, I'm losing. Like, I got to cut this shit out.
Right.
I ain't making no profit. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, back in the days when niggas hustling for Jordans and shit like that, but... And then once I'm able to, you know, I do the drug. I don't let the drug do me. You know what I'm saying? So weed, syrup, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I had to realize, like, that wasn't working out for me. I had put it down back in the day. I was more selling it.
Yeah.
And then got some money, man. I can do whatever I want now.
I was just in New York. I was in the studio, and I bought a quarter off some kid for $80 or some mid. I didn't really, like, think about it. And then I was just like... $80, bro. And I got to worry about the cops seeing me on the street in New York. I'm like, what the fuck, man? It was like fucking Iraq over there.
How much? A quarter?
$80 for a quarter. And that's like normal out there, apparently. I don't know. I was at a studio full of fucking rappers, too. I probably got jugged. They probably did it on purpose. How do you feel about like the weed game as like a business at this point, though? You ever think about getting into like the dispensaries, all that shit?
Yeah, I was just sponsored by Cookies. Shout out Cookies in San Francisco. Cookies 215.
Yeah, what a burner. We need that.
I was sponsored by them last year. We're supposed to be renewing the contract and fucking around this year also. But yeah, I want to start my own strand, though, too. I want to start my own strand of weed or whatever. I'm getting to all that, the fashion, the clothing, shit besides, you know, just music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just going to start doing a little breathing with the dogs. You get what I'm saying? The English Bulldogs, the Bullies and shit like that. I think outside the box, you know, I want to do different things to create revenue.
Yeah, that's tight. Yeah, it's kind of crazy for somebody who sold weed illegally to now see all these people making millions or blowing millions or whatever, like doing the weed business legally and shit. All these crazy corporations trying to get involved in it and shit.
They don't put their taxes on it.
Yeah, that's where they're all going to get fucked. It's scary to think the weed game could get turned into like the way cigarettes are, where it's just these gigantic corporations owning it and shit.
Yeah.
That's what we all got to be scared of, I think. You ever have any issues with the syrup, though? Is like, are you the kind of person that could just keep it to a moderate intake and not have any problems or anything?
I don't have problems. Like, when I don't sip, I don't kick, I don't be tripping or whatever. You feel me? I started sipping syrup, like, 2012 after I got shot because I couldn't sleep.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? I wasn't a heavy syrup sipper back in the day or whatever. It was like, you know, after I got shot, I was, you know, just always on alert and shit like that to where I was... wasn't able to sleep or rest, you know what I'm saying? So, but then, you know, I just start fucking with it heavy or whatever. But you know, sometimes I can't find the shit. But I don't be like in the corner, balled up, hurting sick. Like my body ain't like that. Like I don't do it. I don't fuck with it like that.
Yeah. How'd you get shot that time in 2012?
That's the only time I got shot.
Oh, okay. And what happened?
I was leaving the hood. Somebody pulled inside the car. Shot the car like 9 times.
Really? And so where'd you get hit?
Both of my legs.
Damn. What happened?
Throwing myself to the hospital.
You were able to drive to the hospital?
Shit, I had to.
Was it bad enough that you were like panicking, freaking out? Were you losing a lot of blood?
Look, where you come from, you already have that instinct in you, like to where if you ever do get shot, never to panic, because I done seen people bleed out, panicking and shit like that. So that was already like pre-installed into a nigga, like
right.
Growing up, you get what I'm saying? Never flip out, panic, you know, just be calm, take care of what you got to take care of. You feel me? So I was on the phone, texting, driving, all type of shit.
Texting?
You know, I'm on my way to Holland, I got shot type shit. You
right.
Know?
Damn, why the fuck would somebody want to kill you, especially in 2012?
Shit, I was doing my thing. I was riding through Oakland and Maserati.
Oh,
I had
okay.
two of them at the time.
So it wasn't like some old beef? It was just somebody who didn't like seeing you flexing?
I don't know who it is, man.
You really didn't? You never found out or anything?
Nah, I don't know who it is, man.
That's rough. All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk about gun laws. What do you think? Do you think, what's your attitude on how guns should be regulated by the government?
I mean, I think, like, if you know you got a job, you're a good Samaritan, you get what I'm saying? You living your life right. I think motherfuckers should be able to carry guns for protection or whatever.
Mm.
You know, I've been in Detroit. They got CCW, I think that's what it's called. Be having that shit on them in Atlanta and shit like that. So I just feel like they should be able to have it in California too.
Mm. Yeah, it's crazy. Like I think about my parents, they live in like a super like kind of area where they would never have to think about that. But if they did live in an area where they would have to be concerned about something like that, it's like, who the fuck is the government to be telling you that you can't protect yourself in your own home?
Yeah, shit crazy, man. But
I don't know. Weird. All right. Anything else we should cover? Anything you got coming out that we should know about?
Yeah, Sim God coming out November 17th, man. It's 10 tracks on there on the actual CD album. I did 10 tracks, like the Ten Commandments. You know what I'm saying? It's 12 on iTunes. You can go pre-order it right now. I got the single right now with SOB popping off the tape. I got another single going to follow up when the album drop called My Zone featuring Marco Penn. Dead Fresh featuring Money Man out right now. They feeling that shit. Gucci song around, they feeling that shit. You know, man, I just plan on just, you know, keep turning up, man, taking this shit over, man, and making this shit look good.
Yeah, man, putting on. Hey, well, it's been dope having you on the show. I'm glad we got to have this conversation.
And, like, yeah, man, I appreciate you for having
learn about what you got going on and everything. Yeah, man, appreciate it. Filthy Rich, check him out on YouTube, SoundCloud, all that shit, Instagram.
Yeah, check me out, Filthy Rich, www.filthyrichfod.com, Instagram, Filthy Rich FOD. Twitter, Filthy Rich FOD, man. Look me up.
Amazing. All right. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Bang.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. I'm balling like an athlete, but got no